The cloud. All right. So hello, everybody, and welcome to our NEPA Practice Accelerator educational call. And we have five of these across the year, four or five, I can't remember how many, across the year. And this is our third one for 2019. And the topic of today's presentation is on storytelling. And I don't have a formal slide presentation put together at this point. I really wanted to do was connect with all of you and talk about the importance of story and how you can craft your story in such a way that it suits a general audience, but that can be adapted depending on how much time you have, whether it's part of an hour-long, you know, keynote speech, or whether it's part of a half an hour Facebook Live, or whether it's actually part of like a 10 to 20 minute TED style talk where you really have to get to the point and you have to get some impactful stuff going on. So I want you guys to be able to create like that, the core story, and then be able to adapt that core story, lengthen it, shorten it, or change it a little bit depending on the audience. So for me, I have two different main audiences. One would be people who are looking to regain their health. And the second would be health practitioners who want to have the best skills possible to help as many people as possible and to really have that be a lucrative career so they don't have to have a day job, right? So those are my two audiences. So I'm going to tell my story in a slightly different way depending on which audience I'm speaking to. When I'm speaking to my people audience, my, for lack of a better word, my client audience, I want them to see that I have the experience and expertise to be able to help them with the health challenges that they're currently facing. Not just that I have book knowledge, that I actually have real live experience. And it could be live experience with healing myself, which is a very common story, that people, a theme of a story, or the experience and expertise that I have with working with clients. So what I want to do is share a couple of ways that can go, because you guys are working with clients at this point as opposed to health practitioners. And so if I sit with that and I go, okay, I really want to focus on, say my niche is working with women executives who are fatigued, right? If I've never been a woman executive who's been fatigued, then I need to be able to show my expertise in working with a lot of women executives who are fatigued, right? So give you an example. So say I come from a background of having been a woman executive, fatigued, and, you know, figured out what to do for myself. I could start my story with where I am now. And this is called the turning point story. There's a couple of different options for story, but this is a turning point story. You say, life is good. I'm full of energy. I go and I go and I go. And I really enjoy my life. And as a result of having all this energy, here's the benefits I have. Blah, 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 blah. I have a great relationship, or I can keep going, or whatever it is. But for me, it wasn't actually always like that, right? Back when I was in my 20s, I was really exhausted. And from my perspective, I didn't even realize I was exhausted because as long as I drank caffeine and ate sugar all day long, I was flying high. But I realized that those things were taking a toll on my life. And these are the other things that were going on. And it was stunting me in moving forward in my career. And I realized that the only way I could really move forward in my career was if I got this thing under control. And so I was this, I was that, I was the other thing, depending on your time, how much detail you go into. If you do have a three-day event you're leading, you can have your story be longer, or you can have bits of your story be sprinkled throughout. So you decide on what that should be. I think in a typical webinar situation where you're talking to people for like an hour, hour and a half, your story shouldn't be more than 10 minutes, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. And it has to be crafted in such a way that you get the major points out there. People are going, oh my God, Valerie, I'm just like you. I'm just like you are. And look at you now. Holy cow. There's hope for me, right? So the purpose of your story is to create credibility, create vulnerability too, that you're not just this, you know, brilliant person born, you know, to be a star with a silver spoon in your mouth, that you've had your moments. And then you still, like, say your emotional eating thing is, you still might struggle with those things, but here's the tools I use to deal with it. So credibility, and that could be incorporating some of your credentials. You're a registered nurse, you're a pharmacist. So that's the credentials that give you credibility. But if you're just like, I'm super credentialed, but they can't relate to you, they're not going to want to work with you. And then there's the vulnerability. Like, I used to be this way. I cried myself to sleep at night. I feared that I was never going to get very far, whatever. And I still sometimes struggle with a little bit of fatigue, and I've got tools now that I can deal with it. But if you go too far on the vulnerability side, they go, oh, she's just my girlfriend that I can just, you know, I'm not going to pay her. I just want to hang out with her and let's share sob stories. Right? So you have to create that, oh my God, you have what I want. And oh my God, you have all this great education and experience with it. I want to work with you. And you've got this big heart, and I really just like you a lot. So you want to create all that in this 5 to 10 minute period, right? But you also want them to see how you got to where you are. So if it's you relating on, I've had this problem, then they have to see that you have this problem and they can relate to you. If not, if say you're, you know, like a nurse, okay, I used to work in oncology and I've worked with X number of patients with cancer. And as a result of what I've learned with working with these oncology patients, I've helped them to turn their lives around. I've helped them to get their vibrancy back. I've helped them to feel secure that they are shoring up their immune system so that they have a reduced risk of a recurrence, right? So that's how you would do it if you don't have experience that you're had cancer, but you've been an oncology nurse, a doctor, a pharmacist or whatever. So you create that. Like, what is that story that's going to move your audience to just fall in love with you, to see that, oh my God, this person knows what she's talking about and I want to work with them. Is that making sense? And you got to do all of this in less than 5 minutes. You got to capture their attention. Yeah, your story can go a little longer if you have that time, but this is it. It's a really impactful way to do it. Now, you can do the, hi, my name is Valerie. And you know, like say you're doing a Facebook Live. Hi, my name is Valerie Mills and I'm here to help you to get your energy back. And, you know, I want you to, you know, have your self-esteem, whatever it is you're talking about. You can talk that way. And you can do a big long intro or you can jump right into your story. And depending on the forum will determine how that is, right? So if you've been introduced on a stage and say you've got 15 minutes to speak and they just introduced you, don't waste any of your precious time saying, I'm Valerie Mills and I'm, you know, I'm a registered nurse and I'm a health coach and I'm a this. Don't waste your time, right? Because they've handled that in the intro. Jump right into your story. So I did this recently. I've done it in person, but I did it recently on a webinar to see how it would go. And I just started the webinar. You know, you had to get them, make sure they're in and all that. And I just started my webinar and I said, I was sitting at my desk. I was looking across the desk at this person. And this person had been to 12 psychiatrists and 3 acupuncturists and 4 functional medicine doctors. And she still was dealing with a lot of health issues. And my heart sunk. My chest started pounding. And I was like, who am I? How can I do this? How can I help her? You know, and then I went into my story. And that was my health practitioner version of the story, right? And that everybody's at the edge of their seat. Another one I did, which was in person, and I could see the people's expressions, was they introduced me and I just looked around the audience. I made eye contact and I said, it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon on my 35th birthday. I was excited because I got off of clinic early and I was ready to, my husband was going to come home. We were going to have a nice dinner and I was excited. And then he walked in the door. I heard the door and I'm like, oh, he came home early. How cool is that? When he walked in the room and the look on his face, I knew that something was terribly wrong. And I went into the story of how he told me my mother had just died. And I went into the story of, I could have started that as a client type story and gone into, why did this happen to her? Why did they not know? She was 56. Why did nobody know that she had issues? And I know that there are ways that they could have known that. I know that there are ways they could have, had they done the right tests and had they talked to her about her lifestyle and her diet, that she might even still be alive today, 30 years later, if somebody had done that. And that's when my passion, you know, for helping people like you who are in situations where you're relying on your doctor to give you their answers and the doctor's not looking at you functionally. And boom, I could go into that. People are like sitting there going, what's she going to tell me? Oh my God, this is what I found. And these are the tests that I think you can do. And these are the approaches that you can take. And I believe that had my mother followed this, she'd still be with us today. So it's impactful, right? It's really impactful. When I did it for practitioners, I went into that. And how do you feel when you get back at the end of the day? Wow, I kept Mrs. Jones alive again this year. Like, wow, whoop-de-doo. Or how would you feel if your patients and your clients came back and said, oh my God, I'm playing the piano again. I'm walking again. I'm hiking again, etc. What's the fulfillment? And then I could launch into whatever my approach is. But you see how I can have multiple stories, right? Depending on the situation. But we want to keep them like so impactful that people are like, what's she going to say next? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah. So what I want you guys to do right now is just take out a piece of paper if you can, if you're in that position, and just jot down, like, think about your life, right? What has your life been like? What could be stories? It could be story of when you were five that made you totally want to become a health practitioner and help other people. It could be a story in college where someone you love got sick and you wanted to be able to help and you didn't see the tools in the conventional approach, whatever it is. Or it could just be something that you noticed. Some of the stories come out of the least likely places. And when I was first trying to come up with my stories, I had all these stories. And then I started to do this exercise of what are all the different impactful things that happened in my life. Don't even think about the story. What happened? You know, my mother died when I was 35. My sister died, you know, 10 years later. When I was four, my younger sister stuck her fingers in the fan and got her part of her fingers chopped off, right? All of these things, some of them you may never use, but what are some of those things that made an impression on you that could potentially be a story that you told? Do you see what I'm saying? And it's going to be challenging because you're going to go, oh, that's nothing. Because when I was doing this and I said, oh, and my mother died, and somebody said, what? She died on your birthday? I'm like, I had never thought to tell my story that way. And, you know, she was what? And her doctors never, and like people looked at me and said, that's a good story. You got to figure out how to incorporate that story. So what are some of the stories? Do you have any that come to your mind? Some of the or situations in your life that we might be able to turn into a story?
Well, I usually, depending on the
audience. Okay, you're very low, so.
Can't hear me. Now you can hear me. Didn't have my mic on. I apologize. Okay. So I've told the story several occasions. I was actually born with a skin issue that wasn't named until I was 8 months. And it was at that time deemed to be eczema dermatitis. So I tell the story about that the doctor used to tell my parents that I would grow out of it. I never grew out of it. When I got older, I decided that I needed to do something to help my body be well. Went to nursing school. That wasn't the answer. Went to alternative practitioners. Felt like I was treated just like a conventional practitioner. So I had to learn myself. So I began looking at what I was eating and changed my eating habits, and went from having skin that was wrinkly, looked like a monkey skin, being actually the color black instead of brown, hair falling out, having to wrap hands so I wouldn't scratch the bleeding when I was asleep, putting my hand over the stove eye just to have a moment of relief from itching, putting my hand under the hot water just to have a moment of relief from itching. So I tell that story and say that even my worst enemy, I wouldn't wish that feeling on anyone. So I open up with that at times. Great. And
that's an awesome story. And are you open to little suggestions about making it even more impactful?
Definitely.
So I'd say, look at me today. I have clear skin. My mm-hmm. skin is, because you do, you have beautiful skin, right?
Yes,
I have beautiful, clear skin. People ask me, what do you do to keep your skin so nice? And it's to me that just the fact that I have this is just such a thing that I revel in every day. And I'm grateful for, because this is what my life was like. And then you tell your story about how you were born with it and et cetera. So then once you, I figured out that there are, and you could make it more, there are certain foods that I was eating that was shifting my gut and was causing, you know, some toxins to come through that were affecting my body's ability to detoxify certain things, was making me more sensitive, was preventing my skin from repairing itself. And I would want you to get a little more specific.
Okay.
Because I don't want people to leave and go, oh, I'll just go do some research on skin stuff and I'll be there. And it was a challenge to figure it out, because I had to figure out, well, is it this food? Is it that food? Which foods are impacting me? Which foods affect inflammation in the body? And I was able to figure it out, and it was a lot of work. Mm-hmm. So what I do now is I dedicated my life to, nursing is where my training is, but I've gathered all sorts of others. I've gotten this health coaching and I'm doing this program and I'm learning more and more about how people can keep themselves healthy, not just with skin issues, but with this. And I've learned that what applies to the skin things can also apply to other issues, right? So you want to help them make the connections, because a lot of times when we're first starting out and telling stories, we assume they're going to make the connections, right? And that's why I've dedicated my life to sharing, to speaking, and to helping and guiding people to customize their diet to fix whatever imbalances are going on in their body, to help them identify whatever imbalances are going on so that they can also heal themselves from whatever chronic conditions they're dealing with. Now, if you are addressing an audience that has specific, like fibromyalgia, you'd want to make the connection between, and you may be wondering, what does skin have to do with fibromyalgia? Well, here's what I've discovered is the connection. And then that could be the basis of your talk, right?
Okay.
That gut imbalances and fatty acid imbalances and too many inflammatory foods and things that stress the liver, whatever connections you can make to your story. Now, if you're talking to people in the skin, you know, then great, it's a perfect story and they relate and they're right there with you. But if not, then that story, you just need to tweak.
Okay.
Right? To guide them to seeing, oh my God, she can help me with my fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia has something to do with gut health. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, who figured, you know, and I would mention that when you talk about your, you know, your food, but you also realize that gut issues were related. And maybe, were you breastfed or formula fed?
Formula.
And I look back and I go, oh my God, I was formula fed. I didn't get the benefit of my mom passing on that good bacteria. Mm-hmm. Were you natural birth or cesarean?
Natural.
Okay. So we don't mention that, right? So anything that you can look at around that. And when I look back, I realized my mom was giving me X. She started feeding me at this month old, when in reality, I shouldn't have been eating at that age anything but. She started giving me grains at that age, which, you know what I mean?
Right.
So you relate some of the things you're going to be teaching them.
Okay.
To how you, and so you're creating this picture and they're going, wow, I had no idea about that. Wow. Because they're thinking, oh, she just started eating better. You know, I can do that. I'll just start eating better. They don't realize how specific they need to be to address their own imbalances.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Because it's a great story, because it's your story. And then you can bring in throughout the presentation, depending on how long it is, if you're doing like a 45-minute or hour talk, you can bring in other people that you've worked with. And, you know, okay. I worked with this woman, Mary, and she came in and she was covered with psoriasis, or, you know, she had rosacea. And what I discovered was that the similar things is we're going to look for her imbalances that are contributing to her skin. And I helped her. And now she's, you know, if you have pictures, even better, right? A slide, the before and after. Mm-hmm. Is that helpful?
It's very helpful. Very helpful.
Good.
So I will actually tweak that, because I'm getting ready to do, you remember when we talked last, I'm getting ready to do that talk about blood sugar imbalances at this church next week. So
great.
I will tie that into that. That's
tie it into that, right? Tie that inflammation in. And if there's a way, if they're going to introduce you, and there's a way you could just start with my story, and I would start with the itching. And when I was X years old, whatever it was, I was so much in so much discomfort from my skin condition that I would go and stand in front of the stove just to get relief. I would go and put my arms under the hottest water I could stand just to get a few minutes of relief. And they're like, that gets people's attention, right? As opposed to when I was 8 months old, blah, blah, blah. They start to tune out, which is fine. You did a great job of telling it. But I'm saying if you can think of a way to start it that's in the middle of the story, and then you go back, and then you go forward.
Okay.
Okay?
Got it.
Cool. Yeah, thanks. Good one.
Thanks.
Good one. Mahela, what about you?
I don't know. I have a couple of things that I can think of. One of them, so ever since I was about 12, at that time I actually had a surgery. I had an appendectomy. And from that moment on, my whole life I struggled with my weight. And when I was in my 30s, I decided that although I was working out a lot, I had personal trainers, I couldn't lose any weight. And so then people were kind of suggesting that I just don't work out enough. So I decided to run marathons. So I trained with a running club and I was like super involved and all that. And I checked my diet according to what they were teaching us in the club. And 5 months later, I actually completed a marathon and I lost 1 pound.
Oh, God.
I remember when I saw my, you know how they give you pictures after the race? Like they have the professional pictures. I saw my legs and I realized, I mean, I wasn't happy with how I looked. I mean, I didn't look like a marathon runner. And I realized that I didn't lose any weight. I started crying and I was like, this is supposed to be a happy time. I just finished a marathon, right? Not too many people do that.
No.
And so that's one that I can think of. And then,
okay, so let's think about that before we go on. Like when you think about a story, we wanted to have a, this is where I'm at now. This is what I've learned. This is what was happening. This is where I was. And this is what I kind of went through. Okay. So you need to have, have you lost some weight since then, or are you still at the same weight?
I've lost weight, and so this is my own personal health challenge that I can. So I lost weight when I went gluten free. I started eating paleo, then I tried ketogenic. But bottom line, I did very little carbs during that time, and so I lost weight without even trying. Well, I kind of did.
How much?
Like 32 pounds.
32 pounds. Great. That's very significant.
About a year. And, but the problem is after that, I had some stressors in my life and it just started creeping back up. And, so I gained about 20 some pounds back.
Okay. So here's, so how do we, you know, we always want to look at how do we craft a story that's going to put your skill set in the best light and how you can help others. So if you haven't completely overcome that issue, right, you say you can start it with not like, look at me, I'm, you know, I have this perfect figure and everything, but I wasn't like that. You can't say that.
Right.
You said you can start with trying to think of how to position this so people know, right? I would almost start with the, I was frustrated with, wait, let me think. Because I'm thinking of this in terms of, it started after surgery, which is a stressor, right? A stressor, a severe stressor on your body. It's putting the detox systems under severe issues. Have you discovered that you have certain genetic detox pathway blockages?
I'm not sure, but I do have, based on some genetic testing I've done, I have, my body cannot handle too much fat or too much carbs. So that I learned, but in terms of detox, I'm not sure. I have to go look.
This would be something worth looking at.
Okay.
Okay. Because I think if we can relate, because genes are something you do talk about in more advanced lab testing, right?
Oh, this one I did learn from genetics, from my genetics, is that my body does not like intense workouts. So running a marathon was actually bad for me. And I think that was part of me completely destroying my adrenals. So, you know, I'm still reaping the benefits, basically.
Write these things down, because what I want to do is get as many of the little details we can down and then be able to craft the story in such a way that it puts you into that it's not so easy for some people, right? Maybe you're one of these people, you just finished a marathon, and what happened for me is when I discovered that and I shifted my diet so that I was able to easily shed this much weight.
Right. Yeah, I remember now, because when I did the genetics, I learned two things. One, my body does not like intense workouts like that. So according to that, like in the report was like, don't run marathons, go for a walk. And I'm like, now you tell me, for one. And then two, because I cannot handle fat, when I tried to go on ketogenic diet, I felt like crap. So
straight keto, right? Okay, so these are good things, and I want you to write these things down, and we may not be able to come with the story, but all these little pieces, because what you're trying to get across to folks is that I have the ability to help you to look at yourself, look at your labs, look at your genes, and be able to help you to customize what's right for you. Marathon running and ketogenic diet, things I tried, but because of these genetic factors, my body couldn't handle so much fat, my body couldn't handle that exercise, and it didn't work. When I figured out what was the best thing for me, I was able to lose the weight. I lost 32 pounds. Here's the deal, though. We all kind of ride on our laurels and think, okay, I lost 32 pounds. I'll just keep doing what I was doing. But then I hit another wall, right? And that wall was I had some really severe stress and I didn't have good coping skills. I didn't have good stress management skills. My cortisol levels went through the roof. And that caused me to gain more through my blood sugar out of balance, made me even more prone. So if we want to figure out how to tell this in a way that's not too complicated, but that gets these things across that, and now I'm recovering from those stressors and recalibrating. But the good news is I know what to do. I know how to evaluate myself. I know how to look at the genes. And that's why I'm so passionate about teaching others. That's why I'm so passionate about not just, you know, hey, eat better, eat this amount of carbs and protein, because it varies from person to person. Mm-hmm. And I want to help you to determine what's the best for you. I mean, and that's, you're not necessarily saying that outright. I want to help you to determine what's the best for you because you're not, unless you're in a sales conversation, right? Yeah. But if you're just in a presentation where it's education, and today's talk, we're going to talk about all those factors that can go into you doing the right things, but not getting the right results, right? And you can talk about how the gluten-free made a huge difference, and some people are super sensitive to gluten. Maybe for you, it's corn that you're super sensitive to, and it's creating an inflammatory response and a leaky gut, which is precipitating this fat. Maybe it's those are contributing to your gut microbiome. So all this stuff, a lot of it can be incorporated into your talk, but bringing it back to your story. Mm-hmm. And back to how you're the right one for them. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I think for you, it's really letting them see that they could be doing the quote unquote right things. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's how you start your story. You know, you might be sitting here because you feel like you've been reading and researching and trying to figure out how to deal with your overweight or your low energy or whatever the group is that you're speaking to. And you're saying, but I'm doing all the right things, but nothing seems to be helping. I was there too. And this is how, what I determined. And then you tell about doing the marathon and then doing the keto and then discovering you had to give up the gluten, right? And you had to really have a meditation or mindfulness practice and whatever in there. But there's a lot of ways to spin this. Yeah. And what we have to think about is, what do we want them to feel and what do we want them to do at the end? And how can I craft my story to be so not manipulative? We're not trying to be manipulative. We're trying to be motivating and empowering to them. So they go, oh, I do need to do this. I need to do this. And that by the end, if you are going to make an offer at the end, if it's a situation where you can, they're sitting there thinking, I need her help. I wonder, I really want her help. And if it's not something where you can make an offer, you want to find out from whoever you're, is organizing your talk, can I offer something free? Can I offer my free X book, you know, ebook that does whatever, and make it related to what you're talking about? Don't make it unrelated. Don't make it about menstrual cramps if you're talking to a group and you're talking, right? So you can offer that to people. And even if you don't have an opt-in set up, you can just put your name and email address on this, or create a little card. You know, I don't have a card here, like a card, right? They're really cheap to create cards. And it can have be real colorful, and it just has put your name and email address here. And maybe has a tear off, so that they can take your name and your email. If you get their information on this card, and check here the areas of interest. Right, what kind of health challenges are you facing? Check them, and I will send you my free ebook on XYZ, whatever. Okay, but you when you're crafting your story, you have to think about the emotions, because that's what it's all about. And some of the best salespeople, they don't sell. They tell stories. Mm-hmm. Right? And this one guy, Pete Vargas, he is amazing at telling stories. And he interweaves a story or a part of a story throughout. Right? And one of the ways you can do things with story is if you have a story at the beginning and then you weave story into the middle and the end, and maybe they're different stories, right? Maybe it's a story about a person. But if you can create a story but not tell the whole story, just move on to another point and then come back to that, like it's a cliffhanger. They're going, and let me share with you this, and then we'll come back and tell you what happened to Mary. And they're sitting there going, I wonder what happened to Mary. Like, you know, what's the end of this story? Right. And the other thing you can do is start in the middle of a story and then go backwards, which is what I had recommended for Valerie to think about a way to do with, you're standing there, you're trying to get rid of the pain, you're standing in front of the heat, and you're desperate to get rid of this pain. And then you go backwards. And this problem had been with me since I was 8 months old. And none of the doctors knew. And they told my mom that I'd just outgrow it. And here I was at 27, standing in front of whatever age you were, standing in front of the heat, trying to get rid of my pain by practically burning myself. You know, and that led me to explore. That led me to go to nursing school. And I thought I'd get the answers, but I didn't. And that led me to go to functional medicine practitioners. And I was disappointed because they were just like, doing what the allopathic people did, but maybe with slightly different prescriptions, right? Prescribing herbs instead of drugs or whatever. They weren't getting to the root cause. And I knew there had to be something. I just knew there had to be something there. And so I started digging it on my own. I started doing the research. And what I discovered was, do you see how telling it in that way, you create like, oh yeah, what happens next? Does that make sense? And I know you can do it because you have a lot of personality and you've got a lot of really cool expression. And all of us tend to not get big enough in front of the audience. We tend to be humble, and then they look at us as just humble, just like them. We want them to look at us, oh, she was just like me, but she figured it out and I want her to help me figure it out. Is that what we want to get them to? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that make sense? So I want you to think about, listen back to this and think about like putting together your story, and then think of other times, other things, people's, other people's stories, right? How you helped your cousin Mary. I sometimes tell a story about how I'm really good at empowering people, and my cousin at my sister's funeral, and how I, just within a couple of minutes of talking to her, she got up the courage to come up and do this, read this letter that her sister had written for my sister, dedication. And she was telling me, like, oh, I could never do what you do. I could never get up in front of people. And I said, I think you can. And I think you could. But she wasn't intending to. Her brother was. And her brother backed out at the last minute. And she's the one that came up. And I was like, I just started crying just seeing her. Right. And she did it. And I stood next to her. And when she couldn't finish, she handed me the paper and I finished. But I tell that story in terms of, like, just empowering people. You can do more than you think you can. Right. You're able to do that. So just think of a lot of those different times and places in your life and think about how can you tell your story in a really impactful way? How can you start with part of your story? How could you weave it into the middle of your presentation about genes and testing and, you know, inflammation and gut microbiome and all that and come back to a story that cements it for people? And then how do you weave back out and into more information, right? And then tell again a different part of the story. You want to end with a story, right? So begin and end with a story. Now, if you have a 5-minute presentation, that's going to be hard. You're just going to have to tell a good, impactful story, give them a few things and give them a call to action, right? But even with 10 minutes, you can think about a 1-minute story at the end that's going to leave them with, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if there's a lesson in your story, like for me, when I tell my story, I came up with what is that I really want to leave people with? And what I came up with was every choice matters. Every choice matters. And so I created this thing, and this I learned from some really amazing storyteller speaker coaches, that if you can come up with that phrase and you can weave that into towards the end of your presentation or even the very end. For me, it was every choice matters. So I say, every choice matters. You know, I may even tell my mother, come back to my mother's story. My mom made lots of choices in her life. She didn't always make the best choices. She chose to eat processed food or drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes. And what I've come to realize in my 25 years of practice in doing this is that every choice matters. Every choice matters in how you feel, how you look, what the inside of your arteries looks like. Every choice matters in how you live your life and every, but whatever, I can't remember all the things, but, and then you end with every choice matters. And so they're hearing you say, I did this with Karen. You were there, Mahela, when I helped Karen with this. And it was, I can't remember what the phrase was, but it was related to, I came up with this phrase for Karen Osborne, for her story, and that phrase fit her story. And so we said, blah, 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 and then the thing, blah, 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 and then the thing, and then blah, 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 blah. So your phrase is blah, 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 and then something that explains on, expands on it. And so you do that twice, and then the third one is choice matters or whatever your phrase is. And it leaves them. So then you can leave them with a call to action. So I'll choose wisely, right? Right now you have the opportunity to choose to get on my mailing list or work with me, but that's too straight. You want to leave them with this. Oh my God, I want to work with this person. I agree. I want to work with this person. Does that make sense? And with this story, and I don't have it access to it right now, but I started to write a presentation where, I never filled in the middle of the presentation. I just did the story and then the end story, but I came back to my mother and then I did the every choice matters, right? How would my life be different if my mom had been taught to make better choices? How would the lives of my 8 brothers and sisters be different had mom made different choices? Every choice matters, blah, blah, blah. And I finished with that. It's very powerful. It's very powerful. And so think about stories. That's why I'm telling you, write a bunch of stories. And some of them are going to be just little teeny, itty bitty things that you throw in the middle. But a beginning story, middle story, and an end story is really great if you have, you know, a little bit longer time. And they emphasize your point. The point of the stories is to show your credibility, show your vulnerability, have people feel like, oh my God, I love this person. I want to work with her. And then also to, what's the word? Emphasize certain points that you're making throughout your thing. And I worked with this person and she did this and that and the other thing. And then blah. And then she knew, right? She had to make a change. And when I helped her to make that change, she this, that, and the other thing, right? So that's a little story in the middle. And then the end story is what really like just leaves them with, yeah, I really, really need to do something, right? I need to make a change. And hopefully by then they're feeling like, how do I work with you? Questions? Is that helpful?
Yeah. So if I would do something along the, like, let's say, I mean, if my audience would be somebody that wants to lose weight, I could have something along the lines like, you know, you could guess your way through this, or you could just look at your genetics and tailor everything for
yeah,
you.
Look at your genetics and your, yeah, especially if you're trying to get them into a genetics, a program where you're going to look at functional lab testing and genetics.
Yeah.
Or we could have real data on you. And I think if you're going to talk to an audience that wants to lose weight and you don't feel comfortable that you're not at your ideal weight, I think you use that to your advantage.
Yeah.
Right. You incorporate that to say, well, you may be looking at me and going, who is she to tell me I lose weight? She still could use to lose, you know, 20 pounds or whatever. Right. And so you can address that. You may be thinking that. And let me tell you my weight story. And I'm down, you know, whatever it was from my max, and I'm still working on it. And it may be something you have to still work on because of some of the genetics that you've been handled and because of early exposures and surgeries and antibiotics and traumas that play in to how your body's working right now. It may not be as easy as the person who just goes on the latest fad diet and drops 10 pounds and feels fine and then until they do it again, right? So I would use it and I would address it because they're going to relate to you. And you can talk about the frustration. Can you imagine how frustrated I was? You can say, I just completed a marathon. You can even start your story that way. I just completed a marathon. I was really proud of myself and excited until I stepped on the scale or I looked at my picture. I stepped on the scale and I'm like, I just trained for 5 months in all this intensity and I'd only dropped 1 pound. I wanted to cry. I wanted to hide myself in a hole and give up. But instead, I decided there must be something. There's a reason. There's something in my chemistry that didn't respond well to this. There's something in my body. And so I started to research and I started to look at it. I did some genetic testing and discovered that based on my genetics, a marathon was not a good thing to do. It created too much stress on my system. And that's probably what happened, right? All that cortisol, right, caused you to put on weight or not lose the weight, right? Or redistribute the weight.
Right.
And I discovered that that wasn't in my best interest, right? Then I tried this keto diet. Everybody's raving about keto and now they lose 20 pounds on keto in a month. And I tried that. And I, you know, either I lost very little or I didn't lose any, whatever your story is. I'm like, what the heck's going on with that? And I discovered my body doesn't process fat real well. So I had to find the right diet for me, the right exercise program for me. And I spent a lot of time and a lot of digging and I got this degree and that degree and took this course and that course. And I came up with a process. And I actually lost 32 pounds in doing what was right for me until something hit, and it's going to happen to you. If you are prone like I am, stress hit me. My cortisol levels shot up again, and it was, there it goes. The weight started piling on, even though I wasn't eating more. And that, you can lead that into talking about the process is more than just diet. It has to do a lot with stress, that you can use genetics and testing. Then you realize something about your adrenals, you know, and you can just use this to share that there's all these different pieces that they need to be looking at. And it was hard. Like, look at, I'm a scientist. I'm a pharmacist. I'm a doctor of pharmacy. You may not have that training. You may not have that science. Maybe you're an artist, right? Maybe you're a history teacher, where your way that you figure things out is different. That's where I started to help people and work with people and get passionate about helping people with their journey. And here's some of the things I discovered along the way. And then you give them actionable stuff like that they can do, right? And then you lead them to, and here's how you get more.
Yeah. Yeah, I can think of, I mean, using the same thing, but instead of losing weight, to talk about like gut health or blood sugar imbalance or adrenals or thyroid, because I mean, all of them went up in the air.
All of them got shot, right? But you discovered ways, so your hormones are better now than they ever were, right? And so I would focus on the things that are better as a result of what I'm doing. I'm still challenged with my tend to be hyper. My genes tend to predispose me to being hypervigilant, and I have to watch that. And if I'm not doing meditation and yoga and all these other things to calm me down, I'm going to gain weight. But I also discovered this. And as a result, right now I'm in a situation where my hormones are way more stable. My energy is way higher. My mental clarity. I was so brain fogged, blah, blah. You know, you've told that story. I was so brain fogged that this, that, and the other thing. And now I'm not. So I want you to also know that we focus on not, we don't focus on a problem. We focus on balance and getting you in balance. And your body is going to reverse the repercussions of imbalance in a different order than mine will. And it's going to do it in its order, not the order that your conscious brain is wanting. So if you're working on something and you're not dropping the weight, but your energy is going up, your brain fog's getting better, your skin is getting clearer, your hormones or your cycles are better, it's great. Honor and appreciate your body, because getting stressed out because the weight isn't falling off is actually keeping the weight on. Mm-hmm. There's so much you can do here. There's just so much you can do. Yeah. Yeah. And it's always keeping in mind what you want them to feel. You want them to feel empowered. You want them to feel a little bit scared. Like, what happens if I keep doing what I'm doing? Right? And that's why I always throw in my sister and my parents, right? You don't want that to happen to you. And if you don't care if you drop dead of a heart attack, think about your siblings and your parents and your kids. Do you really want to do that to them? Right? So we don't want to base everything on fear, but people need to feel a little fear that, you know, eating Twinkies is, you know, really dangerous, and not just for me and my physical health, but for the heartbreak that me getting sick or debilitated is going to cause on the people who love me.
Would you phrase something like, you know, I hear a lot from people say that they can't afford testing or things like that. And then you keep on guessing. It's an educated guess, but it's a guess. And so it might take years before you actually find the right thing. And so I was like thinking to tell people, like, look, you can't afford not to.
Yeah, so you have to look at what's the cost of inaction. Like, everybody write that down. What's the cost of inaction? So if you don't take action, you know, you're skin is still going to be raw and red. You're going to be embarrassed to go in public. You're going to be wearing long sleeve clothing. You're going to be in pain, and you're going to pay for every new thing that comes on the market that even shows a hope of you know, slathering it on, when in reality, you've got to go inside, you know. And the same thing with this. And here's the thing that I'll say about that. I'm not a big fan of running thousands of dollars of tests right up front. I'm not. I would like to hear your story and hear what you have done that hasn't worked. Hear what you have done that worked, if anything, or at least gave you some relief, and then come up with something that fills the gaps using my knowledge, my really in-depth knowledge of how the human body works, of biochemistry, of nutrition, and of genetics, and come up with a plan. But here's the thing, right? We may not need to do any labs on you. We might be able to just do educated guesses. But I would highly recommend that if we do that and we're not making the progress, that we always know that the labs are at our disposal, that we can do them. And in terms of cost, yeah, it costs money. But what's it costing you not to do this? What's it costing you in terms of if they're brain fogged and fatigued, in terms of your career and your career advancement, right? Are you being overlooked for promotions because you can't perform because you're exhausted, right? Are you a consultant or a speaker who's afraid to get out there because you don't like the way you look and you're embarrassed, right? Are you? What's it costing you in your relationship with your partner? Are you losing that pleasure? What's it costing you in fun? So if money is a big issue, then I would really look at how are you spending your money and how is that really contributing to your happiness and your health. And here's the thing. If you let this go and it does turn into something really serious like cancer or heart disease, the cost, even just your copay costs for dealing with those conditions and your time off work and losing your job perhaps, or if you're self-employed, not being able to work anymore. Yeah, if you're talking to an entrepreneur group, that's the easy one, right? Because yeah, okay, so what does it cost you if you have to take a week off work? What does it cost you? You don't get paid because you're not working, right? So I think it's just coming up with what are their objections going to be and how can you discuss their objections in a really forthright way that doesn't make them defensive. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have, and I give examples, you know, if I'm talking to people in like about NEPT, right, I'll go, yeah, and so-and-so, she didn't feel like she could afford it. But then she realized, I can't afford not to do this. I need to do this. And took out a loan or borrowed money. We have one guy, I always tell that story. He came to Shine and he had a free ticket, but he couldn't afford the $97 deposit. And we said, okay, just give us $25. We just want to make sure you're going to come. And he showed up. And at the end, he goes, I really want to sign up for this program. I totally want to sign up for this program. And he said, I'm going to figure it out. 2 weeks later, he showed up. He lived close by. He showed up at my doorstep and handed me like, you know, $11,000 or whatever it was, some amount of money in cash. We said, how did this happen? He goes, I wanted this and I reached out to some people I know and I offered them services. I told them I'm going to get trained. I'm going to be able to help them. And they believed in me. Right? So where there's a will, there's a way. Right? He could barely come up with the $25 to come to the event. Yeah. So that's how you learn how to handle those objections. And, I think there's in the library, the PBSS library, there's a Bill Barron thing and he talks about handling objections. There's also a Sharla Jacobs. I think she calls it Dancing with Concerns. And it just gives you ideas of what are the objections, the concerns, the things that are going to hold them back. And how can you actually, she calls it like dancing with concerns. And the both of them have beautiful approaches to it. So I'd recommend that you both do that. Okay. Yeah. Questions? So I'm going to give you homework.
Okay.
I want you to craft a story. Whatever length you want, I don't care. Whatever length you feel most comfortable doing initially, because then we can cut it back or we could expand it depending on the time you have. Craft a story. Take your cell phone, put it on a tripod, and tell your story. And then upload it to the Facebook group.
Okay.
Or if you don't want to do it to the Facebook group and you just want to share it privately, then I'd rather you do it to the Facebook group because we all need to get vulnerable in front of each other. Allie does it all the time. She's always putting up videos, right? And we can help you to craft that story. Or maybe you already have it and give you like the kudos and the confidence to go, okay, now tell this because it's great. And think about that line, like every choice matters. When I was coached to do that, I'm like, and I came up with it. Now it's like, oh my God, I love it. It's like so me, but I wouldn't have thought of it in that regard. And it's so impactful when I say at the end of every choice matters. And I could change the endings every time. Every choice matters. What choice are you going to make right now in terms of taking charge of your health? Right? Cool. And when's your thing, Valerie?
It's going to be on Tuesday.
It's coming Tuesday. Wow, yes. Cool. How long do you have?
She said she would ask that I talk about 30 minutes and leave 30 minutes for questions, but I'm not really leaving them that much time for all those questions because I'm just not. I'm excited. But that's since great. We've done this today, I've got some things I'm going to tweak, which are very helpful. Okay. And I'm just excited to do it.
Are you going to re-record it? Are you going to be able to?
I don't know if they record or not. I usually try to audio myself anytime I have the opportunity to speak. Good. So if they don't, I usually have my phone or my little tablet thing to record it.
Yeah, so yes. I'd love to hear it.
Okay, great. I would love for you to hear it.
And do you have a CTA, a call to action at the end?
I'm going to do an anti-inflammatory diet. I'm going to actually have them... If I get it done, I'll send them to the landing page. If not, I'm going to have them put their email on a piece of paper. Usually when I go places, I also ask people to sign up in case they didn't get their email address. I usually do that.
Good.
So
yeah, get their email address. Promise them something when you ask them for their email address.
Yes, I usually
make it something juicy and irresistible. Like,
okay.
Oh, yeah, you know, recipes people love, menu plans they love. You know, food lists they love, foods to include that are going to do X and foods that are disruptive. You know, those kind of things people love and they'll happily part with their email address.
Awesome. I want to share this. On Sunday, every fifth Sunday at my church, I do a wellness. We do wellness of worship. So I generally ask what they want to talk about. So this time they wanted to talk about digestion. I'm like, cool, got this.
Good.
So I call mine Why Get Gut Healthy. Now, I actually have like four different versions of it, and I couldn't find the one that wanted, but they never knew it. But this time after I got done, I offered them, I did the call to action differently. So before we finished, I asked them to list three things that they learned from my talk and what else they would like to learn. So I gave this call to action that for $27, I have this guide that will give you foods and herbs to help banish your belly blahs.
Yeah.
So they took me on it. So as soon as we get done, I got to finish creating it.
Oh, good for you. How many did you get?
Let me see. Everybody that was there, so it wasn't a whole lot of it. One, two.
Everybody that was, wait a minute. Everybody that was there.
They want it.
Wanted it.
So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 8.
So you sold 8 out of 8.
Yes.
It's over $200. You're going to make something that you can sell over and over again.
Yeah.
What does that do to your confidence? How do you feel after that?
It just boosted it so high because out of all the times that I've done presentations, that's never happened. It's never happened. People are like, So yeah. Just, and even if at some point it's necessary, I believe my being in this group, in this community has really helped that because I was in another opportunity prior to this and it didn't work. It didn't meet what I needed. So even just a short time of being, actually I started doing grand and ended up doing NEPT and now this, and you spoke about, I didn't have the money to do it, but I'm like, I need to do this.
Yeah.
So, this is a testimonial that even my short time in this community, how that's boosted, my presentations.
I'm so excited. I don't know anybody that gets 100%. I've never got 100%. I'm thrilled if I get 50% or 80%, you know,
a small that's, group.
Don't matter. That's so, awesome. That's yes. awesome. You so, hit yeah. a chord with them. You hit an emotional place and a desire place, and they knew that they could follow up with you. You made an irresistible offer and they took it up.
And Ashley, I was thinking about the keto that you did. I'm like, she did this, and she offered $27 stuff. So that's where it popped in my head.
Yeah.
Off the fly.
And it sounds so good. They go, of course I'm going to buy that. Like the other night when I offered this whole 2-day live stream and we're going to do this and that and the other thing. And I said, and it's $97. And I kept saying it's $97. And then I said, and I wasn't watching. I would have liked to be watching to see how many people were signing up when they thought it was 97. I said, well, when you click that link, you're going to have a pleasant surprise because you're here tonight. I'm going to give this whole thing to you for $49. And the reason is I want everybody to get access to this. And I don't want, you know, cost to be an issue. I want you to have access. Boom. We have over 300 and something
wow.
that have signed up for it.
Amazing. So.
Well, now it's 97 and more people have. I just said it's only good until tonight. I turned right. it off. And then now it's 97 and people are just watching the replay and signing up.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm so
yay!
I'm so appreciative of this community. That's just all I can say.
I'm excited for you. So let us know how it goes.
I will.
And if you have anything, like you've crafted something in a story form written or whatever, and you want me to look at it before you do it, that's fine. And if not, no big deal. It sounds like you really know what you're doing and just with minor tweaks.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
But I'm all for assistance in making things better. So
sure. So just put it on the Facebook group if okay. you have if you've written it up, and I'll take a look at it.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Hey, what do you have any speaking things coming up?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
I was out after I was in Austin. That week, actually, 2 days later, we left for our vacation.
Oh, that's right. You left.
We just got back on Thursday. So.
Oh, my. Oh, yay. Awesome. Yay. Settle in and then think about it and think yeah. about how you want to do it. And if there's a place like getting a venue again.
Right.
Think about we'll do different ways of marketing it.
Yeah. So there was a lady that I talked to. But I didn't get a chance to really communicate before I left. So I had just texted her yesterday and I'll follow up today to see if she got my text. And she's the one that she asked me if I would be willing to speak to moms of autistic kids. Once a month, they have a meeting with them. And I told her I would, but I just want to, you know, get details and things like that. So.
Yeah. And that builds up credibility and experience and, you know, and speaking to specific groups, it helps you to tailor your presentation to the particular, and autistic kids is so easy. I mean, not easy to deal with, but I mean, it's so, because they have so many of the gut health, they have the blood sugar issues, they have neurotransmitters, they have genetic stuff, they have toxic exposures. Mm-hmm. So it's a way to just open up and you can have a different topic each month. But the parents, you know, like if you structure it, the parents are going to see, oh, you can also help my son Johnny over here who has asthma. He doesn't have autism, but he has asthma, right? Mm-hmm. And my sister has headaches, or I have headaches. So if you do it right, you know what I mean? Like you talk about this is what's going on with these autistic kids. But, you know, in reality, gut health affects everything or something. You can bring that out. Oh, that's good. And then there's other there's groups. There's always these health interest groups in the areas, right? The Gluten-Free Society, the Fibromyalgia Society. And when you look those up, moms groups, right? If you want to work with the moms, right? That's your demographic as well. So you see we had this thing called the Austin Preschool Mothers Club. And I was part of it as a a preschool mom, a mom of preschool kids, but they asked me to come in and speak because I had to know people. And then I spoke to them. And the same thing with like senior centers, right? It depends on what you want your demographic to be, but there's all sorts of clubs, the JCC, right? There's all kinds of things that like to do services for their people, health services, and more people are getting into health, we know. And they're misinformed. Very. Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Right. And don't be afraid. I'm learning more and more of this to be out there. Don't be afraid. And when I say out there, I don't mean just be out there speaking. I mean, get your opinion out there, be controversial. Right. Not so much so that it pushes people away, but question the norm. Right. Like we talked about at the retreat, the pharmacist who is talking about drug problems with taking drugs. Yeah. Right. It's like, oh, a pharmacist is talking about that. I better listen because she knows what she's talking about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. All right, guys. All right. Well, have a great rest of the day and weekend and have a good 4th of July. You going to do anything fun?
Mm-mm, just chill.
Just chill. That's me too. I have work to do. And I said,
yes.